It is a good thing that Abbott fell, after all. I didn't much like the conversation between him and Roman. Together they would be a powerful union, and I would become nothing more than a side act, walking alongside the Holy Ones and hoping they'd save some of the glory for me. It is better this way. The cleric must rely on me now. I am the chosen one to bear the sword, and it will be up to him to lift me up. Imagine that even with what I had back there, I made that angel bleed. Mother, father, just a stupid dream. But it felt so good wielding that blade. I need it. Now, maybe at last it's time for me to claim it. We set out for Argenvost Holt. This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
It is a grey, dull morning. There is a heavy fog surrounding the tower and floating above the lake nearby. Esmeralda has gone downstairs via the lift to begin preparations for the journey. She has, however, left you two alone for the moment to finish up any preparations you'd like to make. And perhaps explore the tower a little further. She says there's no rush for the moment. You have good travel time ahead of you. What are you two doing in the tower now that she's gone downstairs to get the horses ready?
I am looking at this library that Jasvan Richten has in here. Is it his books, or are these books that have been here since before?
The books seem very old. You imagine they are indeed books that were here before he arrived. He seemed to have taken quite a few of his notes with him. You remember him packing them up.
I look at these old tomes and I see there must be layers of dust on them then.
Indeed. Although some look like they've been recently disturbed, you imagine both Esmeralda and Van Richten have been looking over them, after all.
I spend some time here looking over the different books, and especially paying extra attention to the books that have been disturbed. Van Richten knows a lot of things about vampires, and, well, perhaps there is something in this library that will make us able to fight them in a better way. Well, or perhaps there's something else in here that is of interest to us.
I lie on my back, lazily, delaying getting up today. I have my drums out, and I lie and I drum quietly a bit. As I play the drums, I look over lazily at Roman and what he's doing, and I ask, "Are you finding anything?"
There is a large collection here of various books, a lot of information, and it seems like Van Richten has been studying some of these books. I don't know, but there might be something here of interest. Why don't you have a look through the rest of the tower? Maybe you can find something that could aid us. And this is, after all, a place with guarded by fairly powerful magics. Perhaps there is something in here that someone wanted to keep hidden.
Well, it seems like a fairly old place. I'm sure it's been looted already, I say a bit grumpily, and I... But anyway, I put my drums away, and I start getting up, stretching, and I start wandering around the tower, having a look at how it looks and what there is to find there. Are there any other ways of moving about other than the sort of lift thingy that we went up in?
No. Looking around, you feel there's certainly stuff you could look around further in this chamber. There's still lots of cupboards and chests and all that. But you remember coming up via the lift. The floors below you seemed mostly empty and also quite ruined. You don't think there's anything more worth there. Still, you start rummaging about and looking at various little trinkets. Roman, make me a investigation check.
16.
So, you look over some of the books. You put them away. They are of no use to you. They are arcane books. Books dealing with spellcraft and spell theory. This is not your field at all, and after a few minutes of looking over arcane formulas and spells, unfortunately, these will not be much of use to you. You put those back. But you notice that they were looked over. You then come to some books that seem to have no title. Looking through them, they are full of notes. Van Richten was reading these. You recall one of them Esmeralda read as well. These are the notes she was mentioning that seem very similar to the notes made in Strahd's journal. They are diagrams, construction plans detailing foundations and rooms, perhaps again of the Castle Ravenloft. There's quite a few of them. The notes in the margins again seem to be dealing with arcane formula. But it seems very interesting that these almost perhaps are the blueprints for the castle, or at least blueprints written by someone involved in the construction of the castle, you come to the conclusion of. After a few more pages, you do notice what look like journal entries, although again, age has worn them away. But you do then suddenly come upon the name Kazan. Kazan, the name on the tower. You read a little more and find an entry saying, "Soon my work here will be complete, and then I will be given my reward. He has promised me this, and he will keep his word. And when I have what I need, I shall return to those fools at Alcaster, and I shall show them how pathetic a wizard I am."
Alcaster. I know of Alcaster.
You do indeed. It is the old ruins near Beregost, said once to be a school of wizards, long ago.
Kazan, was he from that school? He wanted to go back and take his revenge on them. Strahd was going to reward him. He built the tower. Did he build this tower as well? Is this Kazan's tower, then? It would seem like that, surely. Right? We've seen other mentions of his name. But only in this book and then in the diagrams and the notes from Strahd?
Indeed. But, again, doing a very quick reference, you look to some more of these blank books and perhaps these are Kazan's notebooks, his journals, long abandoned now and aging, but maybe this was his tower. It has his name on it. It has his books in it.
Yes, that would be the logical conclusion. Interesting. An Alcaster, it's so close. It's so close to home. So very close to home. I continue looking over these notebooks, having gotten some renewed energy to continue the studies. And at the same time, I keep being reminded of the nightmares. They sort of sneak their way back into my mind. It was a troubled night.
Roshek, meanwhile, you come across a crate filled with old bits of wood and seemingly rubbish things, but you do then suddenly notice two items. You pick up the first item and it's a mirror. A simple, old, very damaged now mirror. Looking into it for a moment, as I imagine you would, you see yourself. And then you see yourself much older, as maybe you will be one day when you are in your aging years.
Huh. Huh. That's funny, I say, looking into it.
Indeed. There is no other strange changes. It seems to perfectly be showing you as you will appear when you are an old man. Your hair grey, your teeth more rotten, your skin wrinkled and battle-scarred.
I sort of look and examine myself. Like, I open my mouth, my teeth, and I sort of touch at my would-be wrinkles. This seems to be some sort of magical mirror. It shows me as an old version of me.
I am deep in my studies, and I look up and I go, what? A mirror, you say?
Yeah. Do you know if mirrors have any relation to vampires?
Do I know anything about vampires and their relationship with mirrors, shall we say? Is that something that these vampires would also be affected of, perhaps?
You know the myth that they don't cast any reflection. It's supposed to be a good way of detecting if vampires are present. It could be useful in this situation, although in this situation the vampires are not trying to hide, not at all.
That is true. Roshik, the myth, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's said that the vampires cast no reflection in a mirror. It would be a way to detect them, but, well, yes, this is their land. They are not hiding. They are in plain sight.
Well, I figure this count wouldn't exactly allow us to walk up to him, just, hey, have a look in the mirror, see how you would look when you're older, and then he'd be like, oh no, I can't see myself because I'm a vampire, and then
he would end up with an axe in his head, yes?
Yes, that would be funny. I shrug but I do take the mirror, and I put it in one of my bags, if it's a small enough mirror.
Yes, and that's when you notice a final object. A necklace with some sort of charms on it. What do you do with that?
I hold it up in front of me and I look at it. This is pretty. Can I figure out what it does?
You don't think it does anything. It's just a nice, ornamented necklace. You especially find the emblem interesting. A sword. A sword cleaving into a rock. At least that's what the artist has tried to create. It's a rather crude an impression. It's weird because it looks very familiar to you, Roshek. Didn't you have an amulet like this when you were a child?
I look at it for a while and it's like, there's something coming back to me now. Where have I seen this?
Your mother. She made you one when you were a child. She gave it to you. It looked almost exactly like this one, and yet different.
I wonder what's happened to that old one. I'm sure I kept it somewhere. And I put the necklace on.
And you feel a strange sensation. You recall a memory that your mother once said, saying that she made this especially for you, her only son. She didn't make necklaces for anyone, she only made them for her children. You were her only child. And yet, there is this necklace here.
When I put it on, does it feel like
the one that I used to have?
It does not.
It's just like... Well, I keep it on anyways. And I rummage about a bit more as Roman is reading and studying.
And for now, you find nothing else that looks of much use.
The reward. The reward. Kasson's reward. Could it be? Roshek. The creature that we met. Could that be Kasson? This wizard from this tower? Could that be him? Could that be the gift that he has been given? Eternal life and great power? Could it be?
Yeah, that could be, actually. I heard some wizards and sorcerers and the like, they turn into these undead super beings. I don't know if that's through some more powerful being or just some sort of ritual.
Yes, well, the Count is powerful, perhaps... He may have aided him in some ways there. Oof. There's something about him. He spoke to me.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did say something. What was it? Something about that saint, Markovia?
Yes, Markovia.
Son of Markovia, was that it?
That was it. That was it. That we would all die. I don't want to think about it now. I believe he will find us. And when he does, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And to become ready, we need to find that third thing. We need to find the blade.
So what we've got now, we know that... What we know about him is that he can create some sort of fog. He can... sort of wilt the ground or an area. He can throw fireballs. But most of these wizards and sorcerers are quite frail once you get close to them, if you get close to them.
Yes, that is true. I start touching this symbol, the old sun. What was it that the old sun... it again, having attuned myself with it.
Yes, you certainly feel familiar now with this magical, holy artifact. It is powered by good, by the forces of light, and it will certainly be beneficial to you against your foe.
I whisper a prayer to Lathander, and yes, I thank him for this day. Thank him for the little light that we have out there. We will need it as we begin our journey.
My ears flicker at first, hearing him start to mumble something, but then I just realize it's probably one other of his prayers. And I start getting my stuff ready. I pick up my things and I put on my braces and my armor and make sure I'm ready to head out.
Yes, I as well. I adjust my splint mail and make sure the shield is ready. I touch the mace as well. Lately, I have used the power of my god, but well, there may be a time when that power isn't available, and I need to be prepared. So, I too touch my weapons and get them ready.
I'm guessing there's a few dents and nicks in the shield and the chainmail by now. Yeah, I'll have to get that sorted when I get back to our world and find a blacksmith to get it fixed.
Yes. Roshek, are you ready? Are you ready to set out?
Yeah, I think I've got what I need. So, I'm bringing this mirror along as well that I found, but I'm not sure if it's gonna be of any help. Maybe we'll find a reference to it somewhere or something else. I don't mention anything about the necklace. I'm just wearing it.
Yes, and we begin to make it out of the tower, trying to find Esmeralda, assuming that she's waiting somewhere out there. Argon Savalt Hold, that was the name of the place, yes?
Indeed. Argon Savalt Hold. And she is outside. The horses have been made ready, and she looks over to you and nods, taking a moment to check over herself, well equipped with her weaponry, vials on her belt, a pack full of things. Ah, good day to you. I trust you are all ready to go, friends. Come, we should head off soon. I do not know how much time we have, but it's a good day, and hopefully we have advantage on our side.
Lathander will be with us today, I can feel it. You see the light, yes, it is weak, but it is at the same time very, very strong. He's smiling upon us. Yes, we will have a blessed journey today.
No, it's still bloody foggy, though. I look out on the lake.
Indeed, the weather is perhaps quite grim compared to your companion's optimism. But no matter. Esmeralda mounts on her horse and nods to the pair of you and starts to ride away, remarking, "Follow me. With any luck, it is only, I think, maybe 2 hours away at most."
Very well. Very well.
I get up on my horse as well, and like the sound of that, 2 hours is not that far.
And you begin your journey, riding first back onto the main road that you are quite familiar with now, and then onwards, onto a road that veered off to the south that you didn't pay attention to before because it didn't look like the main road. It's not. The pathway is more gravel than stone. It leads deep into the southern forests. And you ride. Your journey is peaceful enough. The fog is all around you, an element of gloom always present. But the woods seem quiet for now. You ride for a little while more, and finally start to come to a clearing of sorts. There, high above the Rilla Valley, juts a quiet promontory, upon which looms a mansion. Its turrets are capped with fairy tale cones, its towers lined with sculpted battlements. A third of the structure has collapsed, as has part of the roof, but the rest seems intact. You notice a dark tower rising above the surrounding architecture at the back of this mansion building. Out of the fog comes the distant peal of thunder, quickly accompanied by the howling of wolves in the woods below, but the house is silent, seeming like the fossilized remains of some long-dead thing smote upon the mountainside.
I've been unusually quiet during the ride. Not telling any stories, not talking about anything, really. More in a sort of contemplating mood. Not really paying attention much, just following along. And then as we come out into the clearing, see that, in the sudden sound of thunder, I look up at the mansion. Is that the place?
Argon's Vault Holt, is that it?
Esmeralda nods. I believe so. Yes, this is the mansion. This is once was the seat of the Knights of the Silver Dragon in these lands. Destroyed, I believe, when Strahd first came and conquered this realm. Before his new form, at least. Come, let us investigate. And she starts to lead the way forwards, passing by a large statue that stands in front of the mansion. This statue, as you come closer and see it in the gloom, is of a silver dragon, sitting perched, facing the manor. It's quite an imposing statue.
I eye it as we go by, admiring it. Nice handiwork. Do you know if anyone lives here now?
Esmeralda remarks with a bit of a smile. Oh no, If anything, it is said to be a damned place where all who enter will die. Oh, local superstitions, eh? Probably true.
Probably true, yeah. But could be just some traps or something like that. Probably protected place somehow.
Yes.
She nods, looking around with a bit of concern. The visibility here is very low now. The fog has almost completely surrounded you, making everything gloomy, even though it is the middle of the day. There is silence, and then a whisper on the wind, something you can't quite hear yet. It's unpleasant.
Let us make our way inside. What did she say, Madame Ava? It lies with those who served the dragon, yet have forgotten why they served. The blade will be yours if you can claim it. Yes. It isn't here. It will be here.
Oh, now that makes sense. About the dragon. Ah, and I thought there was an actual dragon. And then she started mumbling about, am I a dragon? Are you a dragon? What is a dragon?
Yes, I remember that. Well, this fog is really worrying. We should try and make our way inside.
I agree.
Esmeralda takes a moment to look around, admiring the eastern portion of the building. That is where most of the damage seems to be. The ruins crumbling in on themselves, but the western wing at the central hub of this mansion still seem very imposing. You step up to the main entrance, with flagstone steps flanked by stone railings. They climb to a landing in front of a pair of tall wooden doors, with rusted iron bands and knockers shaped like small dragons. Carved into the lintel above the entrance is the word Argensvostholt.
I look around and I look over at the ruined eastern side of the building. Could one enter through the sort of ruins rather than the main entrance?
Possibly. From what you can see, it's possible there would indeed be a few openings, but you'd have to spend some time looking for them. It's less that the entire side is collapsed and more that there are just many, many holes. Although you do notice the towers on that side do seem almost completely caved in, leaving only the two towers on the left-hand side still standing tall. Once, this would have been a building surrounded by four towers in a fortress square-like fashion, you imagine.
I get off my horse and I start sauntering over there. I'm a bit curious about that side. I am looking around like what I think has caused the collapse.
Roll me an investigation check.
Two.
You move around and start looking at the building. It's definitely fallen in, but you can't really guess why. I mean, old age, you imagine, but you're not exactly an expert on buildings. But you see potentially a few little cracks, some holes. Maybe they lead inside. Maybe they just lead into more rubble. You wouldn't be certain until you poked your head in. Roman, what are you doing while he goes off to investigate the eastern side of the building?
I study the main entrance, trying to see if... Does it seem protected in some way? Does it seem like it's open or possible to open? What can I learn from simply looking at it and approaching it?
You see two doors. They look sturdy enough, but you don't imagine... They might be locked. You don't know until you push them open. Did you say you step up towards the doors as you look at them?
I approach slowly and then I have a bad feeling. A very, very bad feeling. This place is... Perhaps it's still protected. I close my eyes and I move my hands and I make a prayer to Lathander to help reveal if there are any traps here. I cast Find Traps.
You cast your spell, your senses suddenly heightened, and you do indeed feel some sort of magical energy directly in front of you. There is some sort of ward or defensive measure here. Yes, you can feel the magic of it, although it feels very weak. But it is there. Yes, there is something that would happen if you were to step towards those doors. Yes, magical in nature.
Esmeralda, I look to her. These doors are... Yes, there's some kind of ward on them. Something of a magical nature. Likely something that would harm us, or perhaps raise some kind of an alarm and get others to note that we are here. Is there anything that you can do to perhaps help us pass this?
I am still a bit away. And I come back over after having just had a quick look, and I say, I wonder if it isn't better to try and find a way in from the side, seeing as, well, I kind of imagined that if anything was guarded, it would be the front entrance.
Esmeralda frowns a little and nods. Perhaps you are right. If there is a ward present, we'd best not disturb it. No. She looks around and seems very concerned. I'm a little worried as well about how open this location actually is. Once we're inside, anything could come and investigate. Maybe this is a plan we have, yes? You two maybe enter through... You said you found some way in through there, yes, Roshek?
Well, there are several cracks and openings. I haven't tried following them yet, obviously, but there might be, yeah.
Maybe if you two investigate that way, I should stay out here and guard the horses and guard the outside. It's not that I don't want to come with you, I'm just concerned that if we leave the horses out here, anything could come and claim them.
Yeah, like a silver dragon.
Or a pack of wolves. Yes, be careful, Esmeralda, be careful. But I know you will be fine. You are quite resourceful.
Thank you, friends. Of course, if you actually need me, call and I will come. Well, you hopefully will be quite loud. But no, for now I will stay out here. Also, secretly I am hoping that maybe... Van Richten might arrive any moment. If yesterday you say he was somewhere else. This was one of the locations he fought that could be useful. Maybe he'll come and I can catch him. But yes, I'd advise you going in through this way. We don't want to disturb any wards.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Roshek, lead the way.
I nod and I start making my way over to where I was and towards the largest or best crack that I can find or have found.
Indeed, as you come round that side of the building, you notice what looks like once stable, completely open now to the air, completely ruined and destroyed. Looking, though, to the side of that, you notice some more larger cracks in this side of the building. This might be a more promising entrance than trying to go into the ruins of the towers that look very caved in. And slowly you poke your head and look through the ruins of this wall, and you see just beyond what looks like a chamber of some kind, quite large, although it's quite dark. Your low, dark vision helped you see, but otherwise it looks like it will be almost completely dark in this room.
Well, that's not a problem. I know a certain cleric who can light things up, and I start moving in.
Yes. Would you like a light, my friend?
Well, not for my sake, but it might help.
And perhaps I will light up my pack again, like I did the first time when we started, yes, traveling together. And I cast the cantrip light.
Indeed, and it glows before you, casting a welcoming light into this chamber that now you both enter through this crack in the wall. Looking around you, You notice that rubble is strewn throughout much of this vast chamber, obviously caused by the partial collapse of the walls. And looking up the rooms above it, you can see holes in what look like floors, although again, difficult to see too far in this gloom, although you are now at least surrounded by a welcoming light illuminating most things. On the pink marble floor, you notice fallen chandeliers lying amid broken chairs and other furnishings. You also notice thick webs stretching from wall to wall.
Are they big webs?
They are very big webs. They are covering everything in this vast chamber. What was it, Roman? Perhaps a ballroom or a meeting room? The furniture looks like once it would have been very lavish, very ornate.
Are there any signs of struggle or people or dead bodies, that such thing?
None. It simply looks old and abandoned. As you enter now, the silence is disturbed every now and then by whispers. Whispers on the wind. Almost like voices. And yet, no, it's just the wind whistling through the ruins, surely.
Well, I keep my eyes and ears peeled, and I don't know. Seeing the webs, I think of vermin. Big vermin. And I take out my sword.
Seeing this, I also ready myself. These webs are worrying, to say the least.
I go over to one of the webs, and I carefully poke at it with my sword, waiting for a reaction.
It vibrates quite solidly. You notice this vibration then seems to spread, going up, and then into the dark areas of the room and echoing all around you. A sort of, vibration.
And I look around and I listen. If anything starts moving.
Roll me a perception check with advantage.
9.
Roman, you can also roll me a perception check. But just normal, no advantage for you.
19.
Roshek, you look around, being very careful with your actions. Your attention, though, is mainly focused directly in front of you, expecting something to come from the front. Roman, as he's doing this, and you notice him hit that web and those vibrations go off, you blink almost in surprise as you see a giant insect-like creature lower itself down on a web so quickly, it's almost there in an instant, right behind Roshek. As this happens, you see two more scuttling behind yourself, and two more coming from the darkness, at least 5 of these giant spider-like creatures, their eyes glowing ever so slightly in the dark against your light, their legs crawling forth, their fangs sharp, dripping saliva. Roman, Roshek hasn't noticed. They are surrounding you. What do you do?
Roshek, behind you! I yell and I start to prepare myself to cast a spell.
I fling around.
Everyone, roll initiative.
13.
18.
Roman, you have not been surprised by these creatures, although you feel it was very close. It's your turn. What do you do? 2 of these creatures very near you, and it seems like 3 are heading towards Roshek.
I immediately call forth my spiritual weapon, the glowing mace of Lathander, and I immediately command it to attack the spider closest to me.
Roll your attack.
24.
Roll damage.
10. It is force damage.
It's a solid hit as your mace swings into this creature's face, smashing directly into those fangs, causing it to leak, dribble, and fluid all over your weapon. What do you do next?
Having no further action, I simply try to get closer to Roshek. There's so many of them, perhaps we can fight back to back.
Excellent. And you move towards him, getting into position next to him now. Those spiders luckily hadn't reached you just yet. Roshek, unfortunately, despite your best efforts, you were not as quick on the draw as Roman was, and therefore these spiders will be attacking you first. The first one dives towards you and bounces off your shield, its fangs not able to penetrate your defense. The second one, again, just tries to claw at you with one of its many legs, but you, luckily, are swirling around, keeping up good defense. The third one also does nothing. Somehow, despite being caught off guard, you have managed to put up a perfect shield wall against these spiders now coming at you from all sides. What do you do?
I quickly try to regain my balance from all the attacks, and I get ready to pounce, doing a lunging attack on the spider that is already wounded.
Indeed, roll attack.
It's not a perfect one, however, but it's 17.
That's a hit. Roll damage.
15.
And you thrust with your sword just as this spider seemed to be getting ready to scuttle forward and pounce upon you. Your blade hits it right in the eyes, and it quivers a little and falls to the ground dead.
I try to keep up the momentum, pulling out the blade and striking at a spider next to it.
Roll your attack.
21.
Roll damage.
9.
And another hit causes this one to lose one of its legs as it leaks fluid and blood everywhere and squeals in a strange arachnid-like hiss. Roman, it is your turn again. What do you do? Three are surrounding you now and Roman, although one has been injured a bit. The fourth spider remaining is now getting ready, you think, to move in. They are all going to try and surround you, you think, and feast upon you. What do you do?
I see the one that's trying to approach and not wanting any further, yes, beings close to us. I command my... I unleash my guiding bolt, my holy light of Lethander upon it, and I cast guiding bolt. It is, however, difficult to hit, perhaps. I get a 13.
You feel like it was such a near miss as your bolt just hits the side of this creature, not properly inflicting any damage, but certainly startling it a little as your guiding bolt's light suddenly fills the area. It was so close, though. What else do you do?
And then my mace, the mace of Lethander, it strikes that same spider, hopefully hitting, and it gets 14.
Roll damage.
8.
And your mace, spiritually, moves forward and smacks this one away, causing it again to bleed profusely. The two of these spiders have now taken quite a bit of damage. This one finally moves in to approach you now, Roman, angered at your attacks on it. And now these spiders begin their assault. Two of them remain engaged with Roshek. Once more, one bounces off your shield, but one of them just suddenly, underneath your shield, gets in a solid bite. Ah, biting into your arm. Take 7 damage, and then roll me a constitution save.
11.
You feel a stinging sensation coming from the wound. Perhaps there's some sort of acid venom on these things, or some sort of poison. Still, you grit your teeth, and you try your best to ignore it. You only take 4 poison damage. Meanwhile, 2 other creatures, the other spiders, focus their attention now on you, Roman. They are angered at your attempts to stop them, and they hiss. One misses wide with its snarl. You manage to dodge, but unfortunately this leads you into the attack of the second, who again reaches forward and bites you solidly on the leg. You take 7 damage and make a constitution save.
3.
No, you feel a stinging burning coming from this wound. You are not so used to being bitten by giant spiders, I imagine. Take 9 poison damage as well. Roshek, it is your turn. You are surrounded now by these creatures. 2 on you, 2 on Roman. What do you do?
I grunt a bit at the stinging pain. And try to keep focus. I think that these creatures are utterly disgusting and I hate how they move. But I must keep my focus. I am not a ravaging orc. I am a proud warrior. And I go to attack the one that I've swiped at before.
Roll your attack.
24.
That's a hit. Roll damage.
8 plus 6, 14.
And you bring your blade forward and skewer it straight through its large, bulbous back. And it quivers and shakes and is dead. What do you do next?
As it goes down, I take a step up onto it, and I pull out my sword to bring it up and strike down at the next one. 14.
That's a hit. Roll damage.
7.
And from your vantage point, you swing your blade once more at the one next to it, taking off one of its legs. It screeches at you, angered, infuriated. Roman, it is your turn. What do you do? There are now 3 remaining.
It's time to end this. We must get rid of these critters. We need to get inside this mansion. We cannot be out here. I again unleash the holy light of Lathander. And again, he fails me. 11.
They are perhaps too close, Roman. You're not getting time to prepare your spells as they flail at you. But you still have your mace.
Yes. And that as well fails me. It swings and misses wide. 11.
These creatures almost seem to sense it. They sense your flailing. They seem to be turning their attention to you. Look more concerned about Roshek's solid defense, but you, on the other hand, are weaker, easier to prey upon.
And I try, if I can, not moving. Is it possible to yell? Is it possible to do that, or is that an action?
Yes, you can yell whatever you wish.
Yes, I don't know how far inside we have made it. I yell for Esmeralda. We need help! I yell.
And 2 of the spiders begin their assault upon you, trying to now climb upon you. They're so close, and seeing your attacks flail off, they seem to be filled with confidence. But they almost seem too close together, and you're just about able to hold them off. You can feel their many legs scrambling against you, touching your skin, touching your clothing, but their fangs, you're able to hold them off for the moment, it seems. One of them turns his attention to you from Roshek then, losing interest in him. But again, Roshek is able to sort of get in his way for a moment. Their attacks have fallen and not touched you. Roshek, they are all turning their attention onto your friend. You can tell what is happening. They sense weak prey, and they are going to try and consume him. What do you do?
I feel the urgency. And I need to get them off of him as soon as possible and bring them down. I roll an inspired attack roll against the one that I started to damage.
Indeed. Roll your attack.
26.
Roll damage.
11.
You bring your weapon down once more, skewering this creature again. But it's not quite dead. You hear it kind of meekly kind of trying to attack you, but you've done a good blow on it, and it's sort of staggering a little. What else do you do?
Well, I can't let it get a chance to recover. I strike at it again.
Roll your attack.
That is a natural 20.
You sort of sense its weakness, its moment of lifelessness, and withdraw your weapon one more time to then bring it down firmly straight through its head. It does not quiver anymore. It is slain.
Well, see, at the shout of Roman and his despair, I'm going to use my action surge and try to do one more attack.
Roll your attack.
19.
That's a hit. Roll damage.
14.
And surging forward, fueled by the thrill of battle, you cleave down another one, chopping it almost in two. Its black, Icarish blood spills over you. Feels good. Roman, in a moment you blink, noticing Rorschach just cleaving through these creatures, and you suddenly notice there's only one more left before you. You can sense it perhaps is thinking that you are no longer easy prey, but it is your turn. What do you do?
My face turns from despair to getting a little grin. Lathandra may have abandoned me, but my mace won't. And I attack it with my weapon and command the spiritual mace to follow up. My attack is an 11, and my spiritual weapon, however, is a 23.
You feel empowered by Roshek's show of force, and you move forward and smack this creature in the face with your mace. Although, the pain maybe robs you of some of the actual strength, and it doesn't seem to affect it that much. Your spiritual mace, on the other hand, comes straight up above your own attack and lands hard into this creature's head. Roll damage.
6.
And the creature wails in fury, and perhaps even fear. Seems to want to escape now. You notice it trying to backpedal and scuttle back, but it knows that maybe if it does that, you will finish it off. It flails at you in desperation, an attack not now of power, but of survival. But it does nothing to you, Roman. It's lost its will to fight. It misses. Rorschach, it is your turn.
And in the end of this battle, as I see it, I throw off my shield and I take the longsword in both hands and I swing at it.
Roll your attack.
Let's see, that's a 12.
The creature scuttles out of the way of your attack and you miss. How strange, you maybe were too overzealous there. Or maybe it's really trying its best to get away from you.
But I laugh at its desperate moves and how I feel the fear in the creature. Or at least I imagine that it would be fearful now that all its comrades are slain. And I don't mind its trying to dodge my attack because I know that I'm about to bring it down. And I strike again. Yeah, this time it's a 23.
Roll damage.
I strike it, doing 10 damage.
And you drive forward and slice it straight through the face. It screeches and squeals in misery and pain, as much misery and pain as an insect could be in, and flops dead. It's at this moment you hear from the hole in the wall, "What? You need help? What's happening? What foes are you facing?"
Ah, spiders. Bloody giant spiders. They're dead now.
Esmeralda pokes her head in a little and remarks, "Goodness me. Was that it? Just some spiders?" Oh, Roman, you sounded like you were fighting for your life.
Not so easy. Not so easy, but we overcame it, thanks to Roshek's skill with the blade. But it is good that you heard us, but perhaps you should go back to the horses. I hope I have not awoken anything more dangerous than these creatures waiting perhaps inside this haunted place.
Esmeralda nods and moves away from the entrance. For a moment you are left in silence. You hear some more scuttling, but it seems to be far away, and Rorschach, you feel away from your direction. Still, you think it might not be wise to remain here any further.
Feeling the adrenaline sort of fall away, I wince a little at the pain, and I look at my wound to see if I think it needs cleaning out.
It stings a little, but roll me a medicine check.
14.
You feel that this sort of poison was probably to inflict pain and maybe wear you down. You don't feel now its effects as strongly. You think, given a few moments, you should be able to start resisting the effects. You don't think there'll be any more ill intent. Obviously, if you'd been bitten several times, you feel it may have been a different story.
Are you wounded, friend? I ask to Rorschach.
Don't worry. It's just got me bitten in the leg. It's just a minor scratch. I don't think it's managed to pour much of its poison into me.
I hold up my holy symbol of Lathander, and I call upon him. I call upon him to heal our wounds and to make us ready for the challenges ahead. And I channel divinity.
Very well. Heal up.
Yes, I can heal up to 5 times my cleric level, which is 6. So I can heal up to 30 points. I heal 16 on myself, and the remaining 14 upon Rorschach.
Any fatigue you were feeling, especially you, Roman, goes away instantly. Whatever effect the poison was having on you is definitely purged by this healing light. For a moment, you both feel a bit of peace in this cavern, this abandoned ballroom. The peace does not last long, however. The scuttling has stopped, but now you hear whispers. You detect sounds. You now are very sure you can hear one word being repeated again and again, very slowly. Be gone. Be gone. Leave.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the campaign Curse of Strahd for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Curse of Strahd was designed by Christopher Perkins and based on the adventure Ravenloft, written by Tracy and Laura Hickman in 1983. Dungeons & Dragons is published by Wizards of the Coast. The music is created by Metatron Omega, Flowers for Body Snatchers, and Word Clock, and is used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Visit cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more tasty dark ambient. A new episode of Red Moon Roleplaying is released every Friday. Please like our Facebook page and give us feedback, comments, and input there. You can also visit us at redmoonroleplaying.com. Finally, a huge thank you to our growing base of supporters. You are truly amazing and inspire us so much to keep going with the show. If you haven't yet found us on Patreon, please have a look at the links in the description and see if you want to show your appreciation and encourage our work with the show there. While the show will always be free of charge to our listeners, Patreon supporters have access to extra material, such as our bonus Q&A podcast, Ask for the Moon, where we discuss all topics and questions our Patreons have for us. You can even get access to the full-length, raw, and unedited versions of our gaming sessions way before they are released as finished episodes. Thank you for listening. Looking forward to meeting again next week.